I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Mel.
This is episode 50, 50.
Wow,
ladies.
We hit 50, ladies.
It also happens to be Miss Helen's birthday today.
Oh, it's my birthday?
On December 5th.
It's my birthday?
December 5th. And what are we talking about today?
So today we're actually going to be talking about sex. So in light of Helen's birthday, here you go.
It's your birthday, so I know you want to ride out.
Okay.
Even if we only go to my house.
Okay, that's not played the whole thing, so we'll get caught for issues.
Thanks for that. Is that my present?
Not maybe your boyfriend gave you.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
The awkward laugh.
Today we are going to be talking about sex. So this is a topic that we get quite a few requests written in about. And it's something that I think a lot of us do maybe talk about with our girlfriends behind closed doors, but maybe not as openly sometimes because of usually our cultural upbringing makes it feel a little taboo to discuss, right? But if you're in your 20s, if you're in your 30s, if you're a young adult, you're probably having sex.
So, or you're going to.
Or you're going to.
Or you're religious and not.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's okay. And yeah. That's okay. But maybe you still want to know about it, yes. Right? So we wanted to take the opportunity of this episode to share a little bit of our personal experiences with
six.
Yeah. And just also keep in mind, this is our personal experience. We're not saying you should do one thing or the other. I think everyone has their own journey when it comes to discovering themselves sexually.
You know what's actually pretty funny? So earlier today, we all had lunch and we talk a lot about our past and our exes. And every time you guys mention one of your exes, I'm always like, I can't picture this guy, you know, mm-hmm. And I like make up this like person in my head of what he looks like. So I had this genius thought of let's put together a PowerPoint presentation with pictures of all of our exes and label them by the number of years that you dated them and also the age of when you dated them. So now we have this collage of all of our ex-boyfriends.
in a PowerPoint deck.
Which we also present in a very business manner.
Yeah.
This is blank. I did him from da 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 da.
Yeah, we went through the process of presenting. Each person presented their slide that walked through the timeline.
Janet's like, and to your top left. But it's funny because you look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, who have you had sex with there?
We did talk about, you know, who we prefer in bed and all these things. So I think this is a good jumping point to get right into it. So in terms of sex, what was your expectations of sex? You know, obviously, I think we kind of mentioned this before that I think being Asian, we don't really talk about sex with our parents. I don't think I was really educated on sex, right? So for me, the act of sex came from movies for me. So I would watch movies like The Notebook and all these like romantic movies. So that's why I thought sex would be like, oh, super romantic and all like all these things. I had no idea what it meant, you know? So that was like my expectation of what sex was.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I thought people just took off their clothes, looked at each other, and then slept in bed together or something like that.
So you saw all the like feeling aspects of it, the emotional part, but you didn't really understand like physically how things worked.
Yeah, for me as a young kid, I didn't understand the appeal of that. I was like, what is that? Why would you want to do that?
Like, why would you want to get naked?
Exactly.
And like see each other. Yeah, I
thought
I know.
Penises are so gross as a kid.
When's the first time you saw a penis?
I don't know. Maybe like accidentally, like a family member, or like.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Like, not like a creepy uncle, true. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
if you had like cousins or.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Like, because when you're young, you might like all shower together one time or something like that. Yeah.
So this I'm just grossed out. We're just talking about
your cousins.
How about you guys? Do you remember your first initial thought of what sex was?
Well, I mean, in terms of just like human anatomy, mm-hmm. I saw like there was like some porn stash like below my parents' bed.
Yeah.
Mm. And so I remember seeing that. It'd be funny, my sister's listening right now. I wonder if she saw the same because we never talked about it. Taboo. But yeah, I remember like the first time seeing a vagina, like an adult vagina mm-hmm. that was like hairy. Yeah. And I was just like, because I was young. So I was like, oh. That's weird. Like, am I going to have that? Yeah. And I didn't know what it was or why it was there. And maybe it was like a porn thing to have hair down there. So that was like the first time I saw that. And I think the first time I saw a penis was in those like AOL private chats.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. Someone sent me a dick pic. Oh, I didn't know what.
Baby Helen getting a dick
pic. Yeah. I was so young. And I was like, what part of the body is that? That was like a weird finger. Like a, like a really close up.
Your finger's really messed up, man.
Yeah. I was like, why is it so like.
Swollen.
Yeah. I didn't know what it was. But it was like very curved up. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then when I realized what it was, I was really grossed out.
Yeah.
Mm.
But that was my first experience.
I think, I mean, if it's just human anatomy, I did see like, I think family members and then my parents, like sometimes they would, when I was younger, we would walk around kind of freely.
Yeah, because I think it's just a comfort thing.
When you're younger, right? But then in terms of like understanding sex, like I think that was through like HBO or like randomly, because we had
cable. Actually, you're right.
And you flip these channels and just then you're like, what is happening?
Yeah. That's like Sex in the City?
But more like the ads, right? Oh, the channels that had like XXX something.
Yeah.
And you would flip over and you're like, ooh, I can't watch this, but I am.
Yeah. That is true. I didn't know what a virgin meant, like what it meant to be a virgin. I remember my best friend's brother was like, hey, Mel, do you know what a virgin is? And I was like, yeah, Jimmy, I am not a virgin because I know what sex is. So I thought the terminology of virgin means like, if you know what sex is, that means you're not a virgin. So I thought like I was super cool. Like that's when people get naked. And he was like, Mel, that is not what a virgin means, what not being a virgin means. I'm like, oh. So I was like educated real quickly in middle school.
Well, did you guys have like the sex talk with your parents?
Oh, actually, no. Oh my God, this is so awkward. But my mom never gave me the sex talk. My aunt did. And it was so awkward. Oh. I would just like be over at her place. And I think I was probably like maybe in middle school or high school. And she was just like, oh, Melody, are you, you know how to protect? I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And I felt so awkward. She gave it to me multiple times.
Did you know what it was though? The first time she brought it up?
I think I knew.
Yeah.
At that point, I knew what it was. And there was one time I think I found a pack of condoms at her house. And then she's like, you need to protect yourself. And then just like, you don't want to know that your aunt, uncle are doing these kind of things. It's just kind of gross.
Yeah. Wait, did she actually like describe to you? No.
She's just like, oh, you have to protect yourself. Like that's all she said. Mm. And I was like, okay, I got it. Brushing her off. So I don't want to hear this anymore. Yeah. One distinct memory I remember in high school was in freshman year. I was in Algebra 2 class. I was, like, pretty good at math. And so all the – my classmates were older than me. And all the girls would huddle together and, like, girl talk. And so the sophomores, juniors, and seniors were like, oh, my God. Like, yeah. Like, I had sex last night. I literally talk about giving blowjobs. Mm. And I literally was so grossed out. Mm. And that was
why would
like,
you want to do that?
Yeah, like, why would you want to do that to someone? That's gross.
Like, that's where they pee out of.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, I think at that point I knew what a penis was, and I was like, why would you want to do anything with that anatomy? Like, just yuck.
Yeah.
So that was my, I guess, like mental state before entering a sexual relationship with someone.
So innocent.
I know.
And now look at you.
Excuse me?
Dicks all over. Just
that's not true. But do you guys remember being grossed out at the idea of sex before? Or you always, like, liked it?
I don't remember being grossed out. Actually, Janet, you mentioning, like, the channels that you flipped through. Like, totally was my first time hearing about it. But even, like, when you're walking around, it's like, oh, make sure you cover up. Oh, you can't talk about your boobs. And so, like, it was always, like, you knew that you had to, like, hide these parts of you. Mm-hmm. My parents never gave me the sex talk. It was more just, like, don't do it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, it implies all of it. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, I kind of know what you're talking about. They knew, I knew what they were thinking about too. But it was always like this like forbidden fruit. It was kind of just like, you can't talk about it. You can't, don't touch it. Don't, you know, none of that. But I remember like watching like American Pie. Just like, I remember distinctly. I was like, oh, that's how guys like satisfy themselves. Mm. But I was like, what about the girls though? You know? So there was never anything about any discussion about like orgasms or anything mm-hmm. like that. But it was always, like, how to satisfy a man. Even in, I think we, I mean, we had, like, the anatomy, like, banana, you know, condiment yeah. of banana talk.
Sex
right?
ed in school.
Yeah, sex yeah. ed in school. I forget when. But that was, like, the first time hearing about it. But it was always around just, like, how to please, how a man gets, you yeah. know, mm-hmm. gets hard.
That's and, true. We and don't talk that. About the women.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, a lot of the porn, though, there is, like, it's, like, lesbian porn.
Yeah.
So if you're, like, when flipping through channels and stuff and that, I mean, that, like, hyper-sexualizes women in a different way. But I don't know. I think for me, I asked Emil about, like, if your conversations with your parents, like, if they actually describe what it is. But mm-hmm. more, it was just in the context of don't do it, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. for both of you, they never, like, explain what it is. And yeah. so that was my experience, too. It's, like, I had... It was, like, my first boyfriend, and my dad was, and it was my dad. This is awkward. And he was just trying to, like, get a point across, like, make sure you're protecting yourself. And I was like, this conversation's not happening. We don't need
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry. But, yeah, in terms of understanding the mechanics or, like, physically what mm-hmm. happens, I think it was just through school.
Yeah.
And school and then porn, are like, yeah. on, like, on TV, which is two, like, really, one is, like, super just, like, scientific or, like, body mm-hmm. parts coming together. And then the other is, like, super dramatic and, like...
True, yeah.
Sexual. So you don't really, you know...
Have a clear understanding of
yeah. yeah.
Or I think it's, like, the kids also talking about... And, like, making, like, fingers, like, finger in
yeah.
a hole
thing. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember not knowing at all, like, what are you doing? Like, what is that, like, signaling,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So immature.
You bring up a good point, Janet, about, like, your dad bringing it up. I'll dive into this story later as we talk about our first sexual encounters. Mm-hmm. But my mom... When I had my first boyfriend, my mom did bring up sex to me then. Mm. Like, I never had the sex mm-hmm. talk prior. So, I do actually want to hear about your first times having sex. Like, do you guys remember your first time and how old you guys were?
I do remember. I hope you all remember your yeah. first time.
I remember.
My first time was when I was pretty young, now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. I think I was 16. Yeah, I think it was junior year. It was actually, before then, I had tried something with someone else who was also he's not on the list. He okay. didn't make the list.
I didn't see a guy on
the list.
Official.
I know.
He wasn't, he was, but it was a short, I guess I should put him on there. But I remember, like, the first time, we were, like, intimate in bed, but I also knew I didn't, like, want it mm-hmm. from him
mm-hmm.
for my first time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember we, like, got close to, like, getting there, but I would always, like, shift a little bit so that it would always miss.
What?
I never told you guys this.
No, it's like, this is like the hyper version of, you know, when a guy leans in to give you a kiss, you do the whole, like, oh, yeah. the cheek. This is like to another level.
Yeah.
It's
like, but also, like, I think, well, you're young. It's also, like, very, like, tight, and it's very, yeah. like, you know, you're just kind of, like shifting and, like, dodging.
Just, like, that is hilarious.
Hula dancing in bed.
Yeah. was it at the end you're like, okay, we're not gonna fight.
Yeah, well, so. The thing is, I eventually was just like, no, I don't want to. So mm-hmm. I actually, looking back now, just thinking about it now, I'm just like, wow, that was a very empowering move for such a young person, because mm-hmm. he was also, like, older, a couple of years older, so it was, like, upperclassman-ish, and I was just like, yeah, that was the right move to not have done anything there. Mm-hmm. But my first time was with one of my first boyfriends, not gonna say who, but his uncle had an empty apartment, and we had already, mm-hmm. like, made out, and we were already going out for, like, a couple of months, mm-hmm. so we went to the empty apartment. We used to, like, make out at a friend's place. I remember a friend's house. Like, we would always gather there in Dorchester, and we would just sit in our friend's room. And he had a bunk bed. And so the guy who owned the house, he would be making out with his girlfriend at the top bunk. So I had my first kiss, like, on the bottom bunk with this
With another this couple in the room?
Yeah, with another couple in the room, like, at the top
this
bunk.
This is such a high school moment where, like, all the couples just come to make
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where can we make out after school, yeah. you know? So we had already, like, been heavily making out. So we ended up at his uncle's place. And I don't know if we knew that, like, that was the intention that we were going to have sex. And I think I was his first time, too. So it was, like, both of our first times. But there was, like, peanut butter involved.
Wait, what? This story is taking a very interesting
turn. Wait, there was peanut butter involved? I'm not going to say what. But
he just said peanut butter.
I mean, I'm not going to say what we did with the peanut butter. But...
Wait, why peanut butter?
Is that the only thing you had? You had no lube?
Oh my God. Am I sharing
or
too
like
much?
Or, like, chocolate or, like, I don't know, wax or peanut butter.
I don't know.
I think, honestly, I will share in the fact that in high school, when you start doing things, you're a little bit more kinky.
Exactly.
Or you're just exploring stuff.
You're exploring. Yeah. And it just seemed...
It seemed like the right...
like, yeah, it's sticky and all these things. Okay, anyways, go ahead. You have peanut butter.
There was peanut, yeah. And then, yeah, the first time it was like, my senses were so heightened because mm-hmm, I was like, oh my God, my clothes are off. And like, oh my God, like, his clothes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember it hurting, but I didn't enjoy it. Like, I didn't enjoy it. And then the second time, third time, it was like great. Mm. And we even like skip school a couple times just to like have sex.
Oh, wow. Like a bunch of rabbits.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you're a teenager and my gosh, like, I feel comfortable with this guy and he feels comfortable with me. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, like one of our very first relationships with someone else. And so it was like a very exploratory too. So it's like, let's try things and like, you know, against the wall and like doing all these different things.
Okay.
Just to, you know, because we're curious. And at that time, you've already watched like some porn and stuff. Yeah. So you're like, oh, let's try that, you know. So it was fun.
So you had a pretty, like, what'd you say, an overall positive first experience?
I would say so, yeah. Okay. If it was the other person, I would probably have been pretty sad.
Mm.
Yeah, but my dodging is pretty good.
That is hilarious, by the way. I just envision, like, oh. But also, like, I don't want to envision that at the same time.
Yeah, don't.
But I think for me, I could kind of relate to Helen. Like, I actually lost my virginity at a really young age, too. I was 16. I was a sophomore. And my boyfriend was 1 year older. So it was with someone I actually got in a relationship with. I was with him for 2.5 years, so just to give you guys context. Mm-hmm. I think at that point, I was like, oh, like, when you start being physical, you're like, okay, I see the appeal now to, like, this. Before, and I was like, ugh, dick. But then, you know, literally, I was like, ew, that's so gross.
A swollen finger.
But then, yeah, we started being, like, you know, physically intimate, and then I wasn't his first, though. So I was his second, and he was my first. And I think at that point, I knew I was comfortable letting him be my first, a lot of things, like my first kiss, my first, like, everything. And I remember I also had a bunk bed situation. Mm-hmm. My ex-boyfriend shared a bed with his grandpa.
Oh,
oh my god.
This is taking an interesting direction.
His grandpa wasn't home during the time we had sex.
I think so,
So, of course. And so we were on the top bunk. And I remember we finally did it. And it was so anticlimactic for me. And I remember feeling like, oh, like it was definitely hurt, you know. Yeah. And when it happened, I was like, Is that it? Like, not saying like I wasn't satisfied. More like I thought I'd feel like a change. Like, oh my god, like whatever. And then afterwards, I think I was so overwhelmed by the feeling of honest disappointment. The first time I started crying, and he was like, "What's wrong?" Like he was really caring throughout the whole process, and I was like, I guess it's just not what I expected it to be. Like I thought it'd be like the movies, like with candles and like really romantic. Mm. So I really romanticized the act of sex. And so
actually, so when this happened, you didn't plan?
It wasn't planned.
Okay. Were there other times where you guys were making out and it kind of almost went there and like, or how did?
I don't remember. I remember like the first, like being intimate with him, but I remember our first time having sex and all the other times.
So it kind of just like happened.
It did. And then I think once you go over that hump of like, oh, that's not what I expected. Like, yes. Then I joined Helen on the whole, let's explore this kind of like thing. Yeah. And we play with ice cubes. I just think you just want to try different things.
Yeah.
And I did feel super comfortable with him. And yeah, like I think in high school you're very like, oh, like what is lube and like what is a vibrator ring? Just all these little things to see. And I feel like you kind of like play into the kinky, the act of doing it versus like it truly enjoying what it was. Like honestly, I didn't enjoy all those like fun toys and stuff. For me, like now I'm just like, I would be like, no, let's not do that. But yeah, I think having sex with my first boyfriend, it was very exploratory. But
was it fun after?
It was super fun. Like, you know, you're like, God, I feel like I was such a kink in high school. Like now I'm just like, let me be a little different. But you know, like sex for me, like it felt like such a new thing. Like I wanted to do it here and in different places. And like, let's do it like, you know, in the car, like kind of little things like that. But I may get touch about this later if we go there. But I think we were in 2.5 year relationship. And obviously our relationship took a different, like, you know, it started like going downhill. So I was losing interest. And then like, I think for me, like sex became more of an act out of,
obligation
versus what I wanted to do towards the end. And like, I think now I don't regret what I did, but like, I think now if I recognize this now, it would be different. Maybe it's a sign of like, I don't think this relationship is going the way I want it to. And I don't think you should ever do things out of obligation. If you enjoy the process, you should. I never felt like I was being taken advantage of, but there's sometimes just like, oh, I don't have sex, I'll just give you a blowjob instead. Like kind of things like that. It affects me kind of now too. But I guess I'll talk about that later. But yeah, I was 16 overall.
Wait, let's talk about that now. How did that affect?
Like being freaky?
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that kind of, it seemed like having sex out of obligation sometimes, like that affected colored.
I think sometimes I wish, but you're young, so I don't think I really know how to explore my body as I would want to now. Like, I never orgasm in high school. I didn't know what the fuck it was. Like,
Were you able to yourself?
Yes. I always knew how to. But then with him, I just didn't. I think something was holding me back. And then I think ever since then, that mental block has been there since. I don't think it was on him or anything. He didn't do anything wrong. It's more like maybe I felt like, oh, I'm not I can't enjoy it 100% anymore. And so the 10% couldn't bring me over the tip to like come or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it happened. Obviously, you know, talking to a lot of your girlfriends, you realize like to get an orgasm from like penetration is really difficult for some women. And I think I fall under that bracket. So I think not. I remember moments when we had sex and he was like, I want you to come. I was like, I can't get there.
Ooh, that's extra pressure if he's like, I want you to.
But of course, all guys want you to come.
Yeah.
They want the satisfaction also.
I think for him, it was like a caring. He was very caring about it. And yeah, so I think for me, ever since then, like I remember that feeling of there's a mental block. And so that has trickled into my adulthood.
Got it. Yeah.
But there's one thing I do want to add to this, like my first experience. Because you guys asked me, like, did your parents give you the sex talk? And my mom never gave me the sex talk prior to going into, like, sex. But I remember she knew I had a boyfriend. And he would come over. We'd come over and stuff. And there was one time she was dropping me off at school. And she turned to me and she goes, are you protecting yourself?
How do they know?
I think parents know. You're, like, studying the night, like, late night. And you could assume things. And, like, I can't lie to my mom.
Yeah.
Just my relation with her. And I knew what she was implying. I was like, I was trying to brush it off. And she's like, she looked at me and she goes, you know, I can't stop you from doing the things you're doing, but the best thing I can do is to protect you. And so I'm gonna go with you and I'm gonna get you birth control.
Oh.
She was the one that got me birth control when I was 16.
I think that's really important that parents actually talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
Or at least try and help, like try and educate their kids, even if it's still like not really touching on pun subject.
Right.
But it's important. It's very important too. That's really cool that your mom did that.
Yeah, so I think that's something I really applaud my mom for doing. I mean, that is her Americanized side. I don't know. That's how she is.
Because she's not saying, like, don't do it. She's like, okay, I guess you're doing it. Let's go and protect you.
What can we do about this?
Yeah. And I remember, this is all encompassing my first relationship. I was extra paranoid, and I actually had a pregnancy scare.
That was when you were a teenager?
Yeah. It's just like, and the thing is as dumb as like, I was on birth control, I was using protection, like all this stuff. But then I was like, oh, pre-cum, maybe there's like, oh no, there's semen in there. What is this stuff? And like, I just like, I got into my head really quick. And then I was so paranoid, I went out to get like pregnancy test and I was negative. But still, like that wasn't enough for me. I was so nervous to the point where I actually asked my mom, I said, I'm really scared right now. I know this could be nothing, but I think, I don't know, I just want to be safe, but I want to just get my blood tested to see if I'm pregnant.
Wow. That's really, like, incredible to hear that you can talk to your mom about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely awkward, but she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And she took me, and it was negative, but she's, like, very, like, ah, you know, like,
you take a hanger, smack you.
No. She's like, she actually never did that. She's like, oh, you have to be careful. Like, you know, don't. If you want to do this, you know, kind of like that, kind of like disappointment, but also, like, I'm going to take you regardless.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reaction that. Yeah,
you would hope for
her to have.
Yeah,
not so like, yeah, great,
yeah, like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. No, but I felt like a very like, fuck, I'm disappointing my mom to this. Yeah, like, I shouldn't have done that. But but even looking back, I was like, it wasn't like he like came in me. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant. It's just like, oh no, this little pre-cum. But then I think with all those like seeing how my mom navigated dealing with me with my first relationship, with my first sexual encounter, all these things, she was a great mom in how she approached it. So that really is just like my whole first. Experience. So, yeah, I mean.
That sounds nice. You were supported then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too lost in this weird first experience.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It is.
ABM.
I think us now, like, being women, entering the age of, like, thinking about having children, having daughters, like, how would you navigate this conversation? Right. So, I think having that with my mom is like, okay, I think I kind of have an idea.
Yeah. Of how you want to
approach this with my daughter if I were to have one. I think me and Helen fall in a similar boat where we're like, we were kind of in high school, a little young. We start exploring sex at a younger age.
Yeah.
Janet, you have a different experience, right?
I do, yeah. I was not sexually active until, like, my mid-20s. So, I did have a boyfriend in high school and we're high school into college and we were physical and we did almost everything or like just heavy makeout and like dry humping, right?
Yeah. So is there a reason why you stopped going further than that?
He was more experienced than I was and he was always very like cognizant about kind of like not letting it get to that point. I think he was always trying to like protect me and not take advantage.
Yeah. I think most guys
I'm looking at the PowerPoint. Which one is he?
First one.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay.
He was always religious, but I think kind of like became more and more religious near the end of our relationship.
I see.
And then it wasn't until like I kind of started working when I was in like my early mid-20s, kind of similar to Helen, before the actual guy that I had my first experience with, I started kind of dating casually this other guy, and we got really physical very quickly, and he had had sex before and I had not, and I also felt like kind of uncomfortable, yeah. But I was like exploring and trying to figure it out, and he was the first guy that I was like naked with, and like, you know, getting kind of like further.
You did a little dodgy dodge.
I did the dodge, and I still remember this one time where he was like, come on, just like a little bit. I was like, dude, a little, it's either in or it's out. Like, yeah.
What the fuck?
There's no, you know, especially with someone who's like a virgin. Come on. There's no. So in hindsight, yes, I'm really glad that I didn't let that happen.
Mm. Cheers to you.
Cheers. We have some glasses of wine. We need this. So then after him, I actually started dating someone. We were in a relationship for probably I don't remember when in our relationship we started like having sex, but he was someone that I felt really comfortable with and was also quite experienced and was older and was just very like emotionally... He had, like, really high EQ.
That's hot.
That is hot, yes.
Our, like, first time or whatever. Like, we actually tried, like, multiple times. Mm-hmm. And I had some, like, anatomically, it was really painful for me.
Oh, yeah.
And to the point where actually it was, like, I went to the gynecologist and, like, you know, it was like, hey.
Do I have a vagina? Yeah. Is it down there?
Yeah. Like, which hole? No. I think in hindsight, you're anxious and you're nervous, right? So you're, like, not, like... You're tensing up, yeah. But it was our actual, like, first time. It was very romantic. Like, he had bought flowers. There were candles. Aww. We went to dinner.
But so he planned it.
Yeah, you planned it. Then.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So this is... that was all, like, him. He was probably almost, like, more of a quote-unquote girl about it than I was. Because he's like, I know that this is, like, that it's not my first time. But, like, I want it to feel like this is, like, our first time together. And I was just like... Yeah, so
that is like here's
I feel like I was really
I'm
get
it in today. Yeah. That is super sweet.
I feel really spoiled from that experience.
Wow. But, all right, all future men that date Janet, just know you have high
every
bar
time
to eat.
Though.
Yeah, every time, one flower per time.
She better have a garden. Wow, this is so. I think it sounds like, you know, we all have different experiences. You know, with our first times. Yeah. Wow. It varies. It's really interesting.
It varies, yes.
Helen was a freak.
I was a young curious. You too.
Okay, fine. And then there's like...
roses and candles.
Me telling out the bunk bed stories. Yeah. And then Janet got the roses and all these
things. You're like every parent's dream child. Mid-20s. Oh. We are so excited to be partnering up with Every Lashes. Every Lashes is created by fellow ABG Paulina Lay, who was inspired to create false lashes suitable for her Asian eyes after having a hard time finding ones that fit well for her. Every Lashes strives to design lashes that look natural and enhance all eye shapes and sizes, including and especially for Asian eyes.
Their philosophy is that we should be able to wear eyelashes every day, not just on special occasions. So their lashes are designed to be wearable and comfortable for everyday use. I usually prefer a fairly minimal makeup look and don't typically wear false lashes, but I tried out the Sunday brunch lashes and they were light, subtle, and perfect for a daytime or nighttime look.
And for me, personally, I'm a huge fan of falsies, and Every Lashes 9to5 3D lashes have been my go-to pair. The 9to5 3D lashes look dramatic but feel so natural on and fall under their 3D faux mink line. Their lashes are the added oomph I need to leave the house feeling so hot and go well with my daytime and nighttime makeup. To get your pair today, use our code ABG for 15% off. Again, it's ABG for 15% off.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, we see you and we've got you. Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do and it's the gift that always fits.
I
have a question for you guys. Like, when you guys were having sex for the first time, like, were you guys using protection?
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you on birth control? Or were you guys on?
No. Condoms.
Condoms? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
How about you?
Oh, I was on birth control.
Yeah. Oh, so you actually started birth control like
almost instantly because my mom asked me kind of right away. But yeah, I definitely used condoms like right away and then moved over to birth control. And then I was actually on birth control for quite a while. Like, I was on it for 4 years. Mm. Like, 2 years after we broke up, I was still on it because I just regulated my period.
But then
I got off of it. But yeah, I just want to ask you guys about your protection, you know, style the first time.
That's important.
It is important.
Yeah. I didn't know. I think I started birth control like late in college.
Oh, really?
I didn't even like know how to use it. And like, what are these like colors and dates and what is it going to do to my body?
It's like, I missed it. I might be pregnant. Like all these little things.
Yeah.
But you know, I think now since we talked about our first times, I would love to hear about like, we should go into like nowadays. I think you learn a lot about yourself, like, and your sexual preferences through like, you know, different encounters. Like obviously looking at our like slideshow right now, the X Factor we called it. We probably have like different experiences with all these men, right? Sexually or whether or not. I think it's really interesting to talk about like, I guess, our sexual behavior style, or like, what is our current relationship status and how that affects our sexual behaviors, right?
Yeah. Like, what's your relationship with the person you're having sex with?
Yeah.
Is this a boyfriend? Is it a person you're casually dating? Is it someone you met at the bar randomly?
Yeah.
For one night?
I mean, it's like, are you hooking like a one night stand? Are you, do you have friends with benefits? So I think it'd be kind of like interesting to talk about it.
Who wants to start?
I'm the boring one here because I have a boyfriend.
So. You always had a boyfriend, though.
I have. Actually, it was interesting. Like, I'm looking at my slide right now. but I have had a boyfriend since I was 16. So 16 and 18, my first one. I only skipped the age of 19 that I didn't have a boyfriend. And then 20 through now. So serial monogamous.
You know, I'm curious though, because like, how does that affect your like sexual, like, I guess like
your sex drive or
no, like I don't know actually, because I think for me and you, I've never been a serial monogamous.
Yeah,
monogamer.
I don't know, except for your first boyfriend, right?
Yeah,
where you said it started feeling like an obligation.
Kind of, yeah. Or like, I guess, how does sex change when you're with someone for a long time?
Mm. Oh, how do you keep it interesting? Is peanut butter still your?
Or does it depend on
peanut? It's something. No, just kidding.
Does it depend on the guy then?
I think it does. I've never like strayed or like wanted to casually date. That's never been something that's in like my blood. That I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate just staying in this one guy. I'm so curious about like all these other people, because when I'm in a relationship, I'm like in it, and I'm like, we getting married or else this is not it, right?
Yeah.
So even if the sex might not have been good, obviously I was with them for like the personality or something, and I'm like, this is like more worth it than like going out and pursuing other people just for like my sexual charge or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think my sexual activity or my like I it is very like high libido, I guess, right? Libido is pretty high, so it's not like I'm like just low libido and I don't care about sex.
Yeah,
but it's more just like, I think the magnitude of a relationship and the potential, I focus on that more than I focus on like the sex libido itself, part. Mm-hmm. For some people, it like kind of went a little like dry, but I also never really care too much about it. And with like current boyfriend, this is weird to talk about because it's so current. It's been like always good. I'll just
like, you guys have compatible.
I think your chemistry is really
The chemistry is always there. I'm always like, oh no, what if like one day this goes away? You know, but and I've worried about that since like day one or whatever, and it hasn't. So I'm like, okay, I think we have something good here.
Yeah, that's actually a wonder too, because like two things, like in a long-term relationship, I think it's easy for sex to become a routine, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, we'll do this position, then we'll do over here, and it just feels like you kind of know the choreography to what your sex is
choreography.
It's true though, because I remember feeling like that with my first boyfriend. I'm like, okay, we always start here, we do that, we do the same thing, and at one point it's like, it's not exciting for me,
right?
You know, but I do wonder if sexual chemistry is a thing. Like, do you need but I do, talking to a lot of women, it's just like, I think you could have sexual chemistry with someone, but that doesn't necessarily build a good relationship.
Absolutely.
Right, of course.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, the foundation other than sex has to be very strong if you want to have a lasting relationship. If it's just purely based on, like, lust, then it's lust, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think sex can play a very, like, not an important role in a relationship, but I feel like it has to be something there. It can't be like
a spark. Yeah.
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 No, I felt that with one of my boyfriends where it eventually just sort of, like, died down. And I think I mentioned this before, but I remember one time, like, he kissed me and I was like, I feel like I'm kissing a brother.
Oh, you know, or like, wait, which one is that? Look at your chart.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Or like a best friend, right? Someone who knows you so deeply.
Yeah.
And it's like a beautiful relationship. But then if there's that sexual spark isn't there, then it's like, oh,
if you don't get a little bit tingly.
Yeah. There's like no tingle.
Yeah.
You need a tingle.
But it also sounds like you need to have a connection with someone to have sex.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, hey, stranger, let's have sex.
Yeah. I mean, there's only one person that I did have sex with that was not my boyfriend.
Yeah.
I don't like do like the hookup thing.
Yeah. Mm. But you were kind of dating though.
Yeah. But I didn't really have time to either. But yeah, there was one time I already knew that it wasn't going to be like a long lasting thing. Mm-hmm. So I was a little older then. So I was just like, I'm just going to do this thing. Like it's like college Helen, you know, the things that I was supposed to do in college that I didn't get to do, like might as well, you know?
Yeah.
And so I allowed myself the freedom to do that. But then afterwards I would always feel kind of like icky. Cause I was like, oh,
it's not you.
He gets to experience my body and he doesn't deserve it or something like that. Mm. Body's my temple, right?
No, I actually totally relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, and then after that, I was like, okay, I don't need that.
It's interesting how, cause like, I feel like I have had more like casual, like sex, like, there's my brain will say that, like, oh, my body is my temple and I shouldn't allow them. But then there's the flip side where I'm kind of like, at a certain point, I'm getting enjoyment out of it too.
True, yeah.
And so, you know, but there's like no right or wrong. I think it's kind of like it's your personal attitude for
absolutely.
It, right?
Yeah. I'm sure if I was dating more and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm getting something out of it and I feel empowered and I'm learning more about like my sexual behavior and what I like and what
and
I don't like and what,
yeah.
and what these guys, like, if they, you know, touch me a certain way and I'm like, ooh, I like that. At least I learned a little bit from that. I could see myself thinking like, okay, this is like worthwhile.
Right.
You know, it's mutual too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how about you ladies? You both don't have a boyfriend. We all know this by now. Yeah. Have you had sex recently?
I like Jana and I are both looking at each other like, okay, so who wants to start first? Yeah. Helen, you decide who starts.
Let's go with Janet.
Okay. Janet. Have a sip of your wine.
I'm going to have some more wine.
Yeah.
How do I tell?
Well, I'll start it off for you. Okay, so Janet has had, she, remember, in the beginning of this year, 2019, Janet did, like, a little dry spell with her wine. She had a much longer dry spell with her vagina.
My vagina.
Actually, it has aged nicely over the few years.
Yeah, it's aged nicely. And then this past week, it will happen a couple weeks now by the time this episode is released.
Yeah.
But, you know, she got it done.
I mean, I think when we talk about kind of like casual dating culture, the last, well, I'm like 34. So the last like decade, I've done a lot of kind of just casual dating and I've done a lot of exploring in someone that maybe I'm like seeing a couple of times for like a couple months to like being in a city for one night and having like a one night stand. Yeah, I don't know. I think I need more prompting.
Here's the thing. There's no shame with this. Like, Jana, I feel like, if you're using this, how you explore yourself and explore the people, that's what you do. It's fine. There's consent on both sides. Then you do you.
Yeah. You know? I think as long as you're protecting yourself, like physically, for the young ladies that are listening out there, protecting yourself physically is important. It's not just about pregnancy, but it's also about like STDs and things like that.
Yes.
So make sure that even if you are on birth control, you're using condoms or other forms.
And get tested regularly.
Yes. But I would say that there is kind of a funky emotional aspect to it. Because when you're not like intimately involved with someone, then sex almost becomes much more just like a physical pleasure or a physical act. And that can be both positive and negative, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I could see that.
Yeah.
It's like so the positive is like you're able to detach and just enjoy the physical act of having sex and kind of just exploring what you like with your body. But then the flip side is like, oh.
Like I remember kind of just laying there and I was like, this is happening. And like kind of feeling a little disengaged from it.
Yeah.
There's a sense of it that you feel like a little disappointed. But then you also kind of feel like, oh, it's a little bit empowering that I'm not like so wrapped up in this and that I feel like in control of myself and my
inclinations. You do feel empowered sometimes when you know like I'm able to disconnect with this and treat it for what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a different feeling. Yeah.
Did you feel more so like you had your needs filled?
It's
been a while.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, see, here's the thing. I think when you don't really know the person really well, it's hard for there to be real physical pleasure. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is because, like they say, for women, a lot of it is emotional.
Yeah.
Although I have had one guy where, like, we didn't really know each other and it was really good. But I think that's just, like, anatomically we fit together really
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, it will be, like, okay. I think for me, that experience was more good in the fact that we had a really great date. It was, like, a 5 to 6 hour date. We, you know, like, had a really good conversation. We had mm-hmm. glasses of wine and then it ended with that. So it's like the package of the experience of going out on a date and connecting with a person romantically in that way was like really enjoyable.
Yeah.
But the sex, I mean, for that particular, oh, I hope he's not listening.
tell him.
It was, yeah. You know.
She's like, it was about. Like,
all right, no, tell us later.
Yeah. How about you, Mel? You've actually, like, flip it a little. Well, because I'm talking about the spectrum of like not really, it's like a stranger, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you've had some experiences where it's like not. Maybe you have like a friendship.
Yeah, let me drink this.
Like a deep, a like slightly a friends deeper connection.
With benefits, yeah. Yeah,
than like a date.
Woo, it's my turn. All right, so I think I relate to Helen a lot when she says, like, I do view my body as, like, a temple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not naked a lot with people. So I think for me, like, my body is so sacred in the sense that, like, I don't want to share that with everyone. So I think with that, I've always had sex with people that I've been dating. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be, like, all the guys I've had sex with are guys I have been exclusive with. So I feel comfortable enough to share that. Granted, so I like an emotional connection with someone
yeah.
to share that and to a physical side. And in college, I did try friends with benefits, kind of, with someone. Like, he was someone I knew and I had a crush on. And we went back to his place once and things started getting heated. And before we started, he was like, you know, I'm not looking for anything, though. And I was like, oh. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, my first time dealing with this kind of relationship. Because, like, we were friends. We knew each other. And I actually had a crush on him. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, sure, like, I'll just enjoy it for what it is. And then we didn't have sex. We did other things, like, made out. And then after that first time, I knew what this relationship was going to be. So I was like, okay. And I felt kind of empowered. So I was like, I hit him up knowing that it is what it is. Mm. I'm going to get my needs, and that's it. So the second time we met up, and we got a little further, and he said, do you want to have sex? And I go, no. But I think I'm someone that I like to move in gradual steps.
Mm.
And so at that time, I still didn't want to have sex, and I think walking away the next morning, I didn't feel right. It didn't mm-hmm. feel right anymore. I was like, you know, I don't think it's meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, friends with benefits, I can't do this. I get attached. And I like the dude. So I think after that, I stopped kind of, like, moving forward with those type of relationships. So moving to L.A., the only person I really had sex with until, you know, stuff, was my boyfriend. And so, yeah, I guess, like, we were talking about, like, you know, experiences that have happened since my boyfriend. I did try out, I guess, like, a friends with benefits kind of thing with mm-hmm. someone that was part of my life.
Mel has a really uncomfortable face on right now.
Like, how do I talk about this?
Trying so hard to talk about it.
You know what it is?
It's hard.
It's hard because, like, I was very firm. I'm like, I'm not going to do this again.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this because, like, I'm someone that's super sensitive and, like, all these things. But there's one in my life that I felt like I was, like, physically super attracted to. Like, there's no denying the fact that I mean, I told you too, like, I don't feel this a lot, but then, yeah, we're friends, and then, like, I think you just feel the sexual tension.
Yeah.
I think Jana was like, yeah, Mel, I think we all.
I feel like at this point, from personal experience and also from having a lot of girlfriends, mm-hmm. like, watching each other in our 20s and 30s, that usually when there's that magnetic energy between you and someone and you guys are going to be around each other, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
like, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
As much as you try and talk yourself out of it, it's always going to be there.
Yep.
Yeah, and I remember the moment it happened. I remember the thoughts, I was like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening. Am I really doing this? Because I was so firm. I'm like, this is so not me.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened, and I was just like, what? And even he was like, what? I was like, I know. I can't believe this happened. And I felt like it was, to be honest, it was inevitable. It could be one-sided, to be honest, but, like, I felt such a huge, intense sexual attraction to him. I was like, I kind of had to bang this shit out. Like, it is what it is. That sounds so, like,
animalistic.
But it felt like that, though. It felt so, like, my animal
instinct
kicked in. I was like, oh, fuck, I kind of need this.
Yeah.
So I did it, and then obviously that kind of, like, opened up conversation as to what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, we were friends. I don't want to fuck this shit up.
But he did. Just kidding.
What'd you say?
Sorry.
What'd you literally.
Fuck this shit up. Yeah.
But I think what happened was, like, I said this, you know, like, I actually felt very empowered leaving the first time. I was like, you know what? I feel fine.
Yeah.
I don't.
You're not emotionally attached.
I'm not emotionally attached, whatever. I could do this again and feel okay.
Yeah.
And so, then we kind of started exploring that. And I always made it very clear with him. I think in the beginning it was like, oh, yeah, this is just going to be, like, physical. But I think what happens is that, you know, you start, you know, getting intimate and like talking, you know, after you do it, and then you like connect on a personal level, and then you start become more intimate than physical, right? And so for me, it was like a physical intimate combination. And so I think with that relationship, it just kind of like developed a little more to a point where it's like, oh shit. Like, I think a part of me deep down knew that I was liking the emotional aspect of it. But at the same time, like, I knew he, like, definitely was not looking for a relationship. But it's like, he said he wasn't, but at the same time, he was like, I'm open to exploring what this can be. So I was like, okay, I'm someone that I don't like to waste time in a sense that, like, I'm not just gonna go into this with nothing being the result. I want an option of maybe it could be something, or it just being purely just physical. But to be honest, at that point, like, it wasn't just physical, because, like, we were hanging out, kind of. Mm. So I was like, okay, there's definitely, like, intimacy involved. And I told him, I said, hey, at any point in time, this feels like it's becoming just fucking, and you don't see me in, like, an intimate way, or the idea of a relationship cannot be
a possibility.
You let me know, and then we'll be done. Because I don't want to get hurt, whatever. And he's like, I got it. I understand. And so, like, yeah, it was a very interesting – it's just navigating this is so difficult sometimes.
That actually sounds like – I mean, because friends with benefits kind of sounds like you are – it's just for the sex, right?
You know what
and
it
like
is.
Your friendship is separate from that.
But it kind of sounds like friends with possibilities. Like, that's what it
sounds
that, like.
That's what it sounds like, too. And that's, like, that's really hard to do because then you can't compartmentalize, like, this is a potential boyfriend. And so I have to, like, emotionally attach myself versus, like, this is just a hookup.
Yeah.
You know, which Janet has been able to do with, like, her past relationships. Yeah.
Looking back on that, like, dynamic, I was like, honestly, I am a sensitive type. I do fall easily. How can you not when you're being intimate? It's not just being physical. You're being intimate with someone.
Yeah. No, when you're intimate. And I think even for a lot of women, it's hard to separate the physical from the intimate. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when it's worked for me is when I haven't seen them too often, right? Or, like, it's not a consistent thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think for me, it's, like, it's hard to navigate because then, like, you know, we're friends.
Yeah.
So I think looking back, this could be just completely one-sided again. It could be just me feeling like, okay, maybe there is an emotional connection. Maybe this could be something more. I don't know. But for me, I didn't want to put all my eggs in that one basket. That's why I was like, okay, understanding it is what it is. But at the same time, like, in the back of my head, I was like, fuck, I'm enjoying this.
Well, I think there's an aspect of it where, too, like, I think you might, like him, right? Not just for his physicality, but I'm thinking about, like, that one person that I did hook up with that I was not dating. And I, like, was not emotionally attached because I knew that I didn't want to be with him. And it was just, like, kind of, like, a lustful relationship. So, for me, it was easy when I was just like, okay, I think we're done.
Yeah.
And for him, too, he was like, okay, I think,
yeah.
There's probably parts of you that are kind of, like, lying to yourself, right? Like, telling yourself.
Oh, for sure.
Like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But then you're like, hiding the real feelings of, like, shit, I think I might like this guy.
Yeah. And it's just, like, you don't want to admit that because it's just, like, going to come off as, like, strong, like, I'm empowered, of course, and I don't need you kind of thing. And then for me, it's just, like, definitely, like, fuck, I don't really want to like you, to be honest. Like, it's just, like, we already agreed on what this was, you know? Right. It's kind of weird. It's a weird, like, like, I don't know what it is. But then it's funny because in the beginning, it felt so, I always joke around, like, I felt it's so transactional.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, it was fun since we're friends. I could be honest with you. Hey, I kind of didn't like when you did that in bed. Oh, I like when you do this. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, when we started, like, being more, like, sexual, I was like, yeah, actually, like, I like when you do this more. And I feel like I could be really honest with him because he's like, okay, like, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Like, it is a physical relationship. Let's physically satisfy the best we can with each other. Because for me, I kind of saw it as I'm someone that isn't really sexually active. But this, I feel comfortable and I want to actually get to know myself, my body more. And if you're there and I feel comfortable, why not do that? And so I think that was part of that relationship. Trying things out, being okay with, like, kind of, like, having fun and, like, learning about your body. So I think I did gain a positive component from that. But I do think moving forward, honestly, I am the type to get a little attached. And I think all of us saw it coming. I mean, these girls
literally
are
literally just going to too many words that are sexual.
Well, but here's the thing also. I think it's, like, it is pretty rare to have that animalistic drive towards someone, right? So I kind of feel like when it happens, it's kind of one of those, it's going to happen.
You can't stop it.
You can't stop it. Yeah. It's going to, but also it's like the fact that it's rare and that you get to experience that is also pretty unique.
I'm happy that you did because I feel like if you didn't, then you would always be wondering what if, right? Like, because there's this like unfilled question and desire. And so I remember, you were going into it and I was like, oh God.
Like, Helen's like, damn it.
Yeah. But like at the same time, like I've been through it too. Yeah. It's better that you try and tap into it to see what it actually is and try to close the books on it.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So
and I don't think I felt this way about anyone before. It's like it felt inevitable. It was going to happen.
How do you feel now?
Well, obviously, I think moving forward, I kind of know my tendencies a little bit more now. So I don't think I would enter a Friends with Benefits relationship ever again. Mm. I mean, I say this now.
I know. I know. We'll be here.
Check in with us in a season six. Seven.
Probably next season. Probably end of this season.
No. I learned a lot throughout it. I honestly did enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed it. For what it was.
Yeah.
Good. Kind of put me through hell a little bit because I'm such a feeler and emotional person. It's just like, it just fucked with your mind. We're like, all right, we're being intimate. We're kind of like hanging out and I kind of like it, but I can't have this.
Yeah.
My other side is also thinking, you know, another thing I battle with Friends with Benefits. Obviously, you guys, it's called Friends with Benefits. This person's already your friend. So you guys get along to some level, right? Some degree. But now you're throwing in physical act and now you're throwing in intimacy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I wonder if it's tricking your mind to liking someone when you actually don't.
Like, the physical aspect is reinforcing
the emotional intimacy. Kind of like, I don't know. It's like sometimes like, I think I told you ladies, it's just like, yeah, I enjoy being intimate with him. I enjoy being physical with him. But like, I honestly don't know if I like him. Mm-hmm. I might like doing these things with him. That doesn't mean I actually like the dude. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we're compatible.
Ooh, what is it? I've heard a quote where it's like, you can love someone but not like them. And then same, you can
like someone. Love.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
Because love, or maybe love is not the right word here, but it's like that you feel some sort of like deep connection with someone, but you maybe don't like them as a person.
Mm.
Right. Like you don't maybe like some of their values or some of their characteristic traits or things like that, but you can still feel this like lustful, not lustful, but like a deeper other type of connection.
Yeah.
Complicated.
Now also really learning that I do actually want to be in a relationship. I've always been the girl to date for long term.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now it's like, okay, well, at this point, like, I don't want to waste any more time. So I did that because I feel like my animal side was like, rawr, I need to fulfill this.
Yeah.
And I did it. And so now it's just like, okay, now what's next?
I feel like for me, I'm like, I am looking for something serious eventually, but I've had a pretty big pause in my dating life the last like year because I've been so focused on like work and other things. And so now I'm kind of like in this new phase where I'm exploring dating, and I think I'm going to be okay with like starting off with casual dating first, going into that.
That means there'll be more stories coming from Jan in the next couple of weeks.
Oh my God.
And Mel. Both of y'all. All right. If you want to go on a date with one of these single ladies.
Did we do this already?
AsianBossGirl@gmail.com. Send us an email. Subject line, who you want to date.
All right, I think there's so much we can talk about in terms of sex, but I think we covered, like, you know, a pretty, like, fair amount today. Yes. Talking about, you know, our first times, you know, how we even heard about sex to, like, you know, our current, like, sexual behavior styles, which is, like, that was a lot to unpackage and reveal, to be honest. I think we shared a lot, actually.
We did. Even stuff I haven't talked about ever.
Like the peanut butter stuff. What the fuck is that?
Don't focus on that. Let's focus on Ice Cube, yeah.
Oh, okay. A ball.
Ball?
A ball?
You mentioned like, you had sex against a ball or something?
Oh, a wall.
A wall. Well, I heard that statement way differently in my head. But yeah, so we hope you guys enjoyed this episode about sex. We just want to encourage you guys to ask yourself, what do you value in terms of sex? I think that's the main thing I took away when I started being sexually active is like, obviously, if you value your body, it's sacred. That's going to help you determine how you navigate, how you become sexual with someone, right? So don't ever forget that part about yourself. And if you have any stories, we'd love to hear about it. Maybe you're kind of too afraid to share with your girlfriends, like email us at asianbossgirl@gmail.com. We want to hear about it. Don't worry, we'll keep it confidential. Thank you again for listening to this episode about sex.
Make sure you protect yourself.
Yes. Protect yourself, educate yourself, and, you know, do some deep thinking about your own personal preferences with sex. Because sex is something that you do with a partner, but it's also something that helps you get to know yourself better.
So at the end of the day, sex should be something you enjoy. So just remember that and value yourself and what you want with your sexual journeys.
And also, if you are not comfortable with where you are, make sure you know to say no. You can find us at Asian Boss Girl. We are on Instagram. We are all over the social platforms. You can download our podcast on Spotify from our website, iTunes,
all over the other places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And leave us a rating on iTunes. It actually helps us out a lot. We've been getting on some of the charts, podcasting charts lately, and that's because of your ratings and the feedback that iTunes, I guess, receives. So thank you for doing that. Please continue doing so.
Yes. And we also have a segment called Dear ABG, where we're taking in some of your phone calls and your voicemails. If you want to leave comments or questions for us, we'll address them in some of the future episodes. The number to call is 213-262-8776. Thank you guys so much for this episode, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye!